Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started.
There we go. Hello and welcome back to the show. It's great to be here with you and see you. I don't really get to see you, but it's great to be here with you. I'm going to try to get some shade. I'm sitting out in my backyard because we're finally getting the warm-up that we've been anxiously waiting for, which is awesome. And I'm really happy to be able to sit outside and not freeze my butt off. Today, I wanted to talk about supporting our kids, particularly our teens, through this quarantine and this crazy time that we're living in. I have three teenagers now, officially, since my 12-year-old turned 13 at the beginning of this month. And what I know is that they're each having a different experience of this quarantine. And each child is going to experience it differently, just like each adult is going to experience it differently. My 13-year-old son is perfectly happy to do online school. He likes the emptier schedule, because some of his classes are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, some are Tuesday, Thursday, much like a college course load. And he loves not having to be in school constantly for 9 to 3, 5 days a week, or 8 to 3. So he's totally happy with it, even though he has expressed a few times that he does miss being in school and seeing his friends and walking the hallways and all that kind of stuff. He is mostly holding up with turning in assignments. Early on, he was getting forgetful because he was explaining to me that in school, an assignment might be due by the end of class, or an assignment would be due when they get to class tomorrow or Friday or Monday or what have you. But with this online thing, his teachers were making assignments due at 12 noon or 5 p.m. And to make something due at an arbitrary time during the day was causing him to forget. He didn't yet have a system into place to help him remember to turn it in. Whereas, you know, turning it in by the end of class when you're physically in class is easy to remember. Knowing that the thing is due tomorrow when you get to school is easy to remember. You know that you have to have it done before you go to bed that night. But having class, say, 9 to 10 in the morning and then an assignment due at 5, by 5 o'clock he's already on to something else and his mind is not on schoolwork. And so we had to help him put a few systems into place for remembering. We had to try a few iterations because the first few that we tried did not help him to remember. And so he was still turning in assignments late or forgetting entirely until the next day. We finally figured out a system that worked for him, and he seems to be able to remember to turn things in now. So that was really his biggest hurdle. And as far as being with his friends, he still FaceTimes groups of them. they play Xbox together or Minecraft together. Some of the closer ones who live closer to us, they connect up for bike rides and things like that. So he's still been able to maintain his friendships virtually and through bike riding. So that's been pretty nice. So he has seemed to mostly sail through without too much emotional trauma. My daughter, who is 15, she very much appreciates the slower, easier pace of remote learning. She had a very heavy academic load this semester. And so she was going when she was in school. Lots of schoolwork during the day, lots of homework each night and on the weekends. So she very much appreciated not having to be in school and having that time to get her work done. So now mostly she doesn't do schoolwork at night, where she used to be doing it almost every night. Now she's getting most of it done during the day if she stays on task, which has been her challenge. And then she has the evenings free to hang out with the rest of us and do something fun for the most part. She has had a hard time connecting with her friends. It was very, very hard for the first 2 months. Now they seem to be getting into a little bit of a groove. I think her friends were not seeing the value in connecting through FaceTime or what have you. Or maybe it was depressing to them. I've heard some parents say their kids don't want to get on FaceTime or Zoom or anything because it reminds them that they can't be with their friends, and so it makes them feel worse. So I don't know what was going on, but it seems like something has broken loose and now they're connecting up a little bit more. But I would say that was her hardest struggle over the last 2 months, not only not being able to be physically with her friends, but not even being able to connect up with them virtually. That was really hard for her. And her friends aren't huge video game players, so that wasn't like an easy thing like with my boys. And my older son, 17, a senior, he is the one who is consistently having the hardest time. He's trying to deal with it as best he can, but he's definitely holding in the emotions. And occasionally I can open that steam valve and help him to lower the pressure a little bit inside. And when we do that, it's a constant vomiting of venting frustrations. And then it seems to lower his pressure and stress, and you know, he feels a little bit better for a couple days. But the grief process, he nailed it the first week of this stay-at-home order that he was grieving. He nailed it. He was spot on. And so he's been at least very aware of what's happening to him and what he's experiencing and feeling. So I guess that helps to some degree, better than having all these strong emotions and not even understanding why. So he has understood the process that he's going through, not that it makes it less uncomfortable, but he was managing it pretty well when he still had the hope of school. And then last Monday, about 10 days ago, our governor finally made the call to cancel school for the rest of the year, which pretty much put the nail in the coffin of his senior volleyball season, which he had been looking forward to since freshman year. It's probably putting the nail in the coffin of having any kind of senior prom. The school has looked at possible dates in June or later, but I don't really see how suddenly we're going to have 500 or 600 seniors gathered close together in a ballroom to have a prom. I don't see how that's going to happen. Hold on one second.
My cat likes to escape.
So I don't know that prom is happening. So as far as he's concerned, it's pretty much canceled. Hashtag canceled. And graduation is looking like nothing more than a virtual experience at this point, unless something miraculous changes. And that's really disappointing. And so when the governor canceled school, the emotions all flared up again. The grief, he went right back into it. The anger, the sadness, all of it. And so I'm trying the best I can to help him through that, but it's really hard. And he was expressing how hard it's been for his friends too, and how some of them are edgy and irritable. And my friend and I have been talking about how the longer these stay-at-home orders go on, the more people's mental health is going to be affected and their well-being, because being connected to others and having some semblance of a life that you recognize is what most people need. And the longer they go without it, especially if they don't have the right support systems in place or have the understanding of how to manage those emotions, it can really become traumatizing and detrimental, potentially long term. And I'm really concerned about people, kids and adults, who might find themselves in that situation. And so how can we protect against our kids being in that situation or us being in that situation? And I think the best thing we can do is keep the lines of communication open to the degree that we can with our kids. I don't hammer my son all the time, every day, because he would start rolling his eyes and be sick of hearing from me if I tried to help him vent and unload every day. But every few days, maybe twice a week or so, I try to check in with him and see if he has anything he needs to offload to me. But that's the pattern that I feel works best for him. With my daughter, I'm checking in with her every single day. So I think it really is important that you know your child and what is best for them and what's most supportive of them. Some kids need more support. Some kids need less. Some kids think they need less, but they actually need more. And in those cases, you have to be creative about how you support them so that they don't necessarily realize you're supporting them. So this is definitely a big challenge for parents to support their children through this time that's also challenging for them. Our schedules are disrupted. Our routines are changed. Our families are all together and home more than they were previously. And maybe we're dealing with financial stress on top of it all, or health scares if we've gotten the virus or a loved one has, or we've lost someone from the virus or what have you. There's a whole lot going on in this world right now, and there's a whole lot of stress and difficult emotions. And again, the best we can do is take care of ourselves so that we can show up for our children, our significant other, our loved ones, and show up as the best version of ourselves, and then figure out how we can best support them during this difficult time. So if you'd like to talk more about this, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email or comment below this video or what have you. I would love to keep the conversation going. And if you're listening to this on as the podcast, and you haven't yet stopped by iTunes and left me a review, please take a minute and do that. I would really appreciate it. It helps other people to be able to find and tune in to my podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for going to leave a review if you're heading over to do that now. Okay, that wraps up today's show. I will see you next time.
That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.